Hello again, and thanks so much for joining me on what is here in Toronto a beautiful fall day. This is the sermon that was preached at Humbercrest United Church on October 15th, 2017, and it is called A Voice in the Darkness. This is based on the reading from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 to 20. And in that reading, Samuel is called by God and runs to Eli for some advice. You've heard me speak about the importance of listening for God's voice in our lives, but it seems to me that this is a message that can always be repeated. After all, they say a person needs to hear a message at least three times before they really hear it. And in a time in history like the one in which we live, a time in which we are witness to political struggles, war, and social and economic upheaval, listening seems more important than ever. Listening not just to one another, but listening for God, so that we may witness not only to the events unfolding in our time, but witness also to the presence and call from God in the midst of it all. Consider Samuel. We meet Samuel in the middle of the night when he first hears his name being called. Assuming it is Eli in the next room, Samuel runs to him, wanting to know how he can help his old friend. But it was not Eli that called. Eli was a wise old man, however, and he knew that the source of this nagging, the source of this voice that Samuel could not shut out, was likely God. And so, lucky Samuel was given explicit directions from Eli about how to listen and how to respond. Fortunately for the people of Israel, Samuel did as Eli instructed and ushered in a whole new era for his people. God had great plans for Samuel, and he was to become one of the greatest leaders Israel would ever know. And it all began with a nagging voice deep in a little boy's heart. The problem with this story, of course, is that Samuel makes it all look pretty easy. Despite his doubts about the voice that called to him, we are told that he heard it clearly, as if God were simply calling from another room, in a voice easily understood. And unfortunately for us, like most people in Samuel's time, hearing the voice of God is often a rare thing. In fact, if you told your neighbor you heard God speaking to you in clear English every night, there is little doubt that your neighbor would think you had lost your mind. You'd probably wonder the same thing yourself. Things like that just don't happen. Or maybe I should say things like that just don't happen that easily, because they do happen. It is true that sometimes God chooses to communicate with us through the voice of another, a trusted friend, a member of our family, a neighbor, that person who gives us sage advice or a concerned nudge to get us back on the right track. But more often than not, God speaks to us in nonverbal ways, through our dreams, or that feeling in our hearts or in the pit of our stomach that tells us we need to set out on a new path. The big problem is that when we can give some trust and credence to that nagging on our heart, and we can determine that it is, in fact, God that is pulling on us, we then still have to translate that often nonverbal communication. We have to discern what it is that God is calling us to do. And that's probably the exact process that Samuel went through, too. I'm pretty sure that the repeated calling that Samuel experienced actually took place over a series of years, not hours. And I'm pretty sure that Samuel struggled with it all. But the wisdom of his friend Eli helped him to sort it all out, even when it was a message that Eli didn't want to hear. And this is an encouraging way for all of us to look at this story. All of us who, in a day and age when the word of the Lord is rare, are often left discouraged and confused. Those of us who struggle with the possibility that God could ever speak to us at all. We focus so much on the spoken word and on the written word, And as exciting as our scripture stories may be, they can often reinforce this false belief that God speaks to us in a voice clear enough to understand the very first time around. But as we all know, verbal communication is just part of a much bigger picture. We understand the concept of body language. We know we can learn to communicate with others through facial expressions and sign language, even with our eyes. As people of faith, we need to accept that if we can communicate with one another in all of these varied ways, God too must have a number of pretty creative ways to communicate with us. And as with any new skill, learning to read the signs and understand what it is that God is trying to tell us, where God is trying to lead us, takes time. If you have ever tried to learn a new language, you will understand how much time it takes. Whenever I get frustrated at how challenging it can be to understand God, I remember a friendship that I forged when I was a child. Across the street from me, when I was growing up in Welland, Ontario, lived a little girl named Rosie, who was about the same age as me. Rosie had been hearing impaired since birth, and as a result, her verbal language skills were also impaired because she had never been able to hear the spoken word. She relied heavily on sign language, which her family, school friends, and teachers all knew fluently. I had never known anyone who was hearing impaired, and I knew nothing about this unusual language that she used. But when you want to play with a new friend, you haven't got time to learn sign language first. So we just made do. It turned out that Rosie could read lips exceedingly well, and so she could understand me. But now it was my turn. I learned to pay very close attention to how she said her words. And in the beginning, it was pretty tough. I know I missed a lot of what she was trying to say, but it got easier each day. All it took was patience from her and from me, and a real desire to enter into meaningful relationship. Similarly, as Christians, all we need is patience and practice, and a true desire to listen for and learn the ways in which God speaks to us. As with anything, it is a skill that needs to be learned, but it is a skill that can be learned, a little bit at a time. The culture that we live in, one that claims autonomy for the individual, one that tells us that life is what we want, when we want it, is a culture that has taught us that we are essentially alone. It has taught us how to hit the mute button, whether we realize it or not, whenever we think that God might be asking something of us. Given that, it's no wonder that loneliness is a major affliction for our society. Perhaps instead of hitting the mute button on God, what we really need to do is turn down the volume on all of that other noise around us so that we can refamiliarize ourselves with what has become the foreign language of God. When we do that, when we genuinely want to do that, bit by bit, we'll begin to understand. Today we are reminded that God really does call to us. And as we've learned before, usually that call is to venture into something new, to venture into something unknown. But even in that, through it all, God is with us. And we know that. It's the foundation of what it means to be a person of faith. But today we're being asked to take that knowledge one step further by considering that not only does God call us and remain with us, but our spirits, that thing deep within us that makes us who we are, needs to be in relationship with God. Our spirits, that spark of energy deep within us, holds the key to understanding God, because it is of God. It knows the language already. Our job is, like Samuel, to listen and to trust. This week, I want to challenge you to listen, to trust, to watch for God in those nagging, tugging feelings in your heart, in your soul. Recognize those feelings and welcome them. Begin to pay attention to the rhythm so that you can begin to understand the language of God. Because God is here, and God has not forgotten the promises made to God's people. Even in all of this noise around us today, God is speaking. Let's dare to listen. Amen. Let us pray. It is not always easy to be your disciples, God, especially in a world that seems turned upside down compared to the ways you call us to live. The messages from our world are ones of power, influence, prestige, and control. But you call us to walk a different way. You call us to a path of wisdom, of love, of peacemaking and service to others. Help us, God, to still the noise of our lives and listen for your call. Help us to find you amidst the chaos and the clutter, to be strengthened by your presence and reminded that we are not alone. Give us the patience, God, to learn your divine language and listen. God, at this time, we think of the places and people in our world that need our prayers so much today. We pray for the Rohingya in Burma who are experiencing genocide, displacement, and terror. We pray for all impacted by climate change, and especially we think about the people of Northern California battling horrible wildfires. We pray for wisdom and calm in the tensions between North Korea and the United States, and all who live with the constant threat of war. On this World Food Sunday, we remember those who suffer from hunger. We pray, God, for those who are in need in other ways today, those whose health is failing, those who are recovering from surgery and receiving treatments. Especially, we think about Joyce Gailey and Rita's husband, Renee. We pray for those who are unable to be with us due to mobility issues and failing health and lack of transportation. We pray for those who are lonely, those who are imprisoned, those who are afraid, those who are cold and hungry. You came among us as one of us, God. Help us to learn from your teachings and be willing to risk to serve others. Help us to answer your call. Bless us and guide us in this week ahead. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. And as always, if you're in Toronto, I hope that you will drop by and visit us for worship at 10:30 on Sunday mornings. We're at 16 Bobby Point Road in Toronto. You can also check out our website at www.humbercrest.ca. Thanks so much. Have a wonderful week.